Welcome to What's Eric Eating? Culture Map's bi-weekly look at all things Houston bars and restaurants. I'm your host, Culture Map editor Eric Sandler. Today on the show, we'll talk about some news in the world of Houston restaurants, as well as our meal at a new restaurant you may want to try. To do that, I am joined by my co-host this week. She is the owner of Heights Grocer and Montrose Grocer. Mary Clarkson, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm great, Eric. I'm happy to be here with you today.
Thank you for doing this. Let us dive right into the news of the week. Topic number one, I just want to note that there have been like a string of recent bar and restaurant closings. Istanbul Grill is closing after almost 30 years in Rice Village in a couple of weeks. The Dogwood, a staple in Midtown, just closed over the weekend. Voodoo Donut closed both their Katy location and their Montrose location that's right down the street from Montrose Grocer. And then Blue Tuba, an Eastern European restaurant in the Heights, also served its last meals recently. Mary, I say all that to say to you, do you have any specific memories of any of these? And if so, which one will you miss the most?
Honestly, I'm going to probably surprise you, or maybe I won't here, but Istanbul Grill was amazing. Like stalwart of Rice Village, you know, Ginger Man, same block as Ginger Man. This was a go-to for me for lunch. Super great food, really friendly service, affordable prices in a land of nothing is affordable anymore, it feels like.
Yeah, so. I, you know, in some ways, this is kind of like the Rice Village equivalent of that Montrose staple, Aladdin, right?
Yes, like I want that. That needs to survive.
The Middle Eastern restaurant where you could get like a really filling kebab lunch with fresh pita and nice vegetable options for not a ton of money.
Like, I want that right now.
Right. Istanbul Grill, obviously Turkish, not Lebanese like Aladdin, but the idea is the same, you know.
I want all the flavors. Give me the flavors. Flavor Town.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously, you know, they wrote on social media that they were not able to renew their lease. And we know what's going on. It's the same reason that Ginger Man closed. You know, Rice University
is taking over Rice Village.
That's right. They own all that property. They have these big plans to build a new, I don't know, complex development structure, whatever you want to call it, that kind of better integrates the west end of the campus, including the stadium, with Rice Village itself, like a new pedestrian plaza, some new stores. And so all of this stuff along, I believe that's Morningside, you know, all yes. That stuff is getting cleared out for newer, better, more national. It's just not the same Rice Village that we remember from our childhoods. It's changed a lot in the last 10 years.
Do I sound like an old person or a nostalgic person? Like, I want the Five and Dime store back. I want Prego back. I want Ginger Man. And even from my underage drinking years, I want Bronx Bar back. Yes.
Yeah, that's just not, you know, it's Take Ovaz and Hop Dotty and Shake Shack and all of these other 60 Vines, all of these other regional, national places that they've brought in over the last however many years.
I wish Rice University, like, I understand they're not actively managing it and they've hired great people to do all of that. And like, I get it, but it would be nice to keep some local spots in here. Otherwise, it just feels very generic. And maybe that's what the world wants, but it's definitely not what I want, selfishly.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think on some level, the people that operate Rice Village kind of looked at what was going on in Highland Village and River Oaks District and said, oh, we could do that too. And now it's like the quirkiest restaurant that's still kind of left in that area. I mean, you know, D'Amico's still holding on after many, many years, the Italian restaurant. And then El Maison, like, still doing the paella thing right there. So after that, it gets pretty thin on the ground.
I know. It makes me sad. Well, a place not too far away, not Rice Village proper, but the Osteria in Westview proper is
Osteria de Mercado. Yes. Chelsea Thomas and I were raving about that place a couple weeks ago.
It is filling. It's not the same as Prego, of course, but it is filling my Prego hole in my heart. And it's really good. So there is some hope at the end of that tunnel.
It's better. it's a better restaurant. I mean, it's a more exciting restaurant in terms of its culinary perspective than Prego ever was, if we're being
for sure.
You know, not to be snarky.
No, but local restaurants.
And there is good stuff in Rice Village still, right? I mean, I love Hamsa, I love Navy Blue. We're big fans of Milton's and Lee's. Like there's plenty of stuff to like in that area. It's just closing Istanbul Grill is like the latest in a string of, as you said, you know, losing these places that have served the area well for a generation or more.
100%.
And then I did note, you know, the Voodoo Donut, kind of, they're down to their one location on Washington Avenue. And I understand why. Like, those donuts are just too big, too sweet. Like,
they're more decorative to me than like substance. You know what I mean?
They look great. Like the pentagram design, the voodoo doll, like all that stuff. It looks great. It is not great to eat. And, you know, I think you can only, like, we've seen this with Krispy Kreme, right? Came into the market with a bang, drew a bunch of attention, left with its tail between its legs. And I understand that wasn't just about food. That was also about their franchisee and some of the other choices they made. But like, Dunkin' continues to survive in this market for reasons I don't fully understand, because there's never, I mean, other than the coffee, there's really no reason to go there. But
Shipley's childhood favorite. I'm still loyal.
Yeah, Shipley's is great. And then whatever your local donut shop is, right? In Montrose, it's Christie's. In the Meyerland area, it's something else. It's, you know, but whatever.
Casa Emma in the Heights. I mean, I know those aren't like, quote unquote, strictly like classical donuts, but my God.
Yeah, I don't think of that as a donut shop in the same way. And they're not doing kolaches. I mean, they're doing, it's a bakery with really elegant pastries. Like, that's a different vibe, but
it's bougie and I love it.
It is fantastic. And then, you know, Blue Tuba bums me out a little bit. I mean, it was a very quirky restaurant. Selling Eastern European food in Houston is always going to be a bit of a stretch. There's only so many people that want to eat schnitzel and goulash and chicken paprika. You know, there's only so much of that. And they started, you know, they wanted to do this Eurotex thing where they were doing like escargot and a taco. It didn't really make sense, but they, you know, they found their little niche and they were doing live music and the owners were friendly and charming. And so it just kind of bums me out that 2 years was all they got. You know, a reminder, Mary, I think that second floor spaces are always difficult.
Yes, they are.
And having it been home to, you know, it was home to Harold's for a long time and now Blue Tuba, I will be surprised if anything else, like even on 19th Street, even right above a Torchy's, like a great part of the Heights to have a restaurant in. But man, I'd be surprised if anybody interesting like rolls the dice on that, because second floor spaces are just so hard.
Unfortunately, you know, geographically great locations, second floor, incredibly hard. And usually landlords don't want to come down in price. But guess what? That means either no one's going to sign on for a long time, or if they do, it's going to be set up to most likely not be successful. Like, I really wish I would have a different opinion about second floor spaces, but it is, the exceptions are rare.
Yeah. I mean, you can, you know, the number of places that have, even by smart operators that have come and gone over the years, is pretty lengthy, and, you know, making it work is really hard, but, you know, we'll see.
There you go.
And then topic number two, I don't want to get too lost in the weeds on this. It's going to be a pretty short episode this week, but, Levi Good has opened his online shop selling cookware, spices, and more. Mary, I don't know, what do you think of the Levi Good shop? Did you peruse the selection? Was there anything that caught your eye?
Oh my gosh, I don't know. I mean, listen, you know what I want out of good company? Pecan pie. That is the extent of my good company shopping, usually around Thanksgiving and Christmas. But I mean, it's a great brand. It's a beloved brand in Houston, and people like merchandise. They like stuff they can take away. I mean, they ship those pies all over the country. So why not some spices or merch? Like, people might want that. And, you know, he probably knows better than I do in that sense, right? Or otherwise, he wouldn't be giving it a go.
Right. No, I think that's fair. I think we've seen this, right? Like, Credence, the restaurant in Memorial City, is just, all the Good Company restaurants are owned by Levi, but Credence is not explicitly a Good Company restaurant, right? It's not Good Company Steakhouse, it's Credence. So,
yeah,
you know, and when I asked Levi about this a while back, he was like, well, this is kind of my solo project, right? This is defining me as distinct from the company that his father founded And obviously we've seen Credence evolve. It got in the Michelin guide. Whereas I think of Good Company restaurants as very family friendly, Credence is definitely not. I mean, you could take kids there, but there's not really anything for them. It's not designed for them. It's designed to be a place for adults, right? Including right down to its own speakeasy. And, you know, I think this is kind of the next chapter, or this is the, you know, if Credence is an album, then the Levi Good Shop is an EP, right? Like a just kind of showing you a little more of what he's all about, right? This kind of native Texan ranch life, wood fire cooking, and the accessories that go along with it, right? You can buy a cooking pan, you can buy an apron, you can buy spices and cocktail mixes, you can buy cookware.
I think about Mill Scale, for example, and people love that, right? So
exactly.
There's no reason. This is very similar.
This is Levi looking at Yeti and being like, oh, who knows what the ethos behind that brand is. Like, I can be a brand too. I can kind of do this. And, you know, if you're buying a fancy apron, like, why not a Levi canvas apron for $170?
I mean, people like to give gifts that are based on experiences or memory and nostalgia. And this checks a lot of boxes. And the Yeti people are the owners of that. They have roots in Texas too, right? So he's already starting with a lot of goodwill. So I am sure it will do well.
I'm sure it'll do just fine. All right. Mary, I'm going to say that does it for the news of the week. We'll be right back with our restaurant of the week. Stick around. Mary, for our restaurant of the week, I want to talk to you about Anthony's New York Italian. This is the new restaurant on Westheimer from Russo's pizza owner, Anthony Russo. And it kind of pays homage to Italian-American restaurants, similar to the one his parents operated in Galveston for a long time, similar to restaurants in places like New York and New Jersey and Massachusetts. It's in that Pie Tap pizza space. So it's right next to Fielding Steak. It's very close to Central Market. Pie Tap is from Dallas. It kind of bounced in and out in less than a year. But I'm going to say that I'm feeling somewhat optimistic about the prospects of Anthony's New York Italian. What do you think?
I like it. I like it more than I thought I would, to be honest. I was pleased that a lot of the pastas we had were handmade in-house. The carbonara we had was delicious. I made us get the pepperoni hot honey pizza, and that was delicious. And I know that's not super traditional, but it was nice to, you know, try something and see them execute it really well. And their desserts were great as well.
Someone was asking me, what did it look like? And it's like, it looks like it was Pie Tap, and they did kind of a quick renovation just to kind of make it Anthony's. It's not really about the design. It really is about the food. And there's a lot to like here. I mean, truffle mushroom arancini were crispy and gooey in the right way. Those Wagyu meatballs are beefy, rich, the right texture, not too dense. I hate a dense meatball. Bucatini alla vongole. I'm a sucker for pasta with clams. That's always going to be a winner for me as long as the clams are cooked properly. You don't want to be biting into shell or sand or grit or any of that stuff. You want the pasta to be on the al dente side. Just a lot to like about this place. And I'm with you. I mean, obviously, he knows pizza. You know, there's Russo's locations all over Houston and Texas and beyond, and even overseas. And this is a good one, you know, nicely charred on the top, chewy crust. I like the cupping pepperoni. You get a little sweet and spicy with the hot honey. That's always a good taste for me. And then we indulged. We were chef's guests, so veal parmesan, bone-in veal chop, fried mozzarella cheese, the whole shebang. I mean, stunning, like visually stunning, if maybe not as quite as crispy as I would have liked it to be, but a really fun dish. I don't know. What do you remember? Any misses? Anything you'd like to improve?
The veal for me wasn't my favorite, but that's just not a dish. That's not a go-to for me. So that's maybe a little bit of my own bias. The tiramisu that we had was delicious.
Yeah, the desserts were very strong. I mean, all
and made in house, like actual quality and care. I know this comes from a bigger restaurant group, but it didn't feel like that. And I think the location being in River Oaks, Highland Village area, they're going to have a lot of to-go business. Like, I see a lot of people ordering pizzas to go from here and pastas as well and salads. I thought the caprese we had was good. I think their menu is very good, and Italian is definitely a very popular trend that's not going anywhere in Houston.
I think that's right. And I think the comparison with Milton's is probably inevitable.
For sure.
I would say this is more traditional, like more
mainstream.
More mainstream. My, you know, you're not going to get
less chefy.
Yeah, you're not going to get a parsley salad with guanciale dressing at Anthony's, right? That's a chefier, more adventurous kind of flavor. That's a Milton's thing. But you will get a good either veal parm or chicken parm or eggplant parm at both of them. And it kind of comes down to style or convenience, right? If you're in that River Oaks area, you're probably going to Anthony's. If you want something a little chefier, a little snazzier, you want to go to Lee's afterwards, like, you're probably going to Milton's. I don't know. Where do you come down on this?
I like it. I think it'll do well. For me, it's kind of a pizza category place with, you know, addition of pastas, and that it's more casual. Milton's feels just so, you know, it doesn't have to be romantic, but it feels so cozy and intimate and a little more elevated dining and service and all of that, which the older I get, and I'm sure you do as well, it's like, if I'm going to go out, that's kind of the hospitality that I'm going to crave most often. But this place definitely has a spot and will do incredibly well, I have no doubt.
No, I think that's right. I think the only thing kind of holding this place back, it's the same thing holding Fielding's back, is that you know, being in those apartment buildings where you have to valet, there's the parking somewhat inconvenient. That's always a little bit tricky. But in terms of the quality of the food, I think what they're doing is really excellent. And I'm with you. I like Milton's for an occasion or for a date night. But sometimes I just want spaghetti and meatballs, you know, or man, those arancini were really good. I'm a sucker.
Or a pizza to go.
A pizza to go for sure. Yeah. I mean, you know, this could, what this could do is every time that I go to Carrabba's for like spaghetti and meatballs to go, I could start mixing in Anthony's. And then that would be like a nice alternative.
I think this is a competitor to Carrabba's. Like, if you're ordering for a family of four to go for a Sunday night dinner at home, right? I think this is a competitor in the same category of that. But if you're a regular at Carrabba's, there's no better service. So also
right.
That.
Right. You know, Carrabba's is a Upper Kirby institution. I don't think Anthony's is going to hurt their business necessarily, but I do think if you like Carrabba's,
you'd like this.
You should definitely be checking this out. Yeah, because this is going to check a lot of boxes for you, I think.
I agree.
All right. Well, Barry, I'm going to say that does it for the restaurant of the week. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
That's it for today's show. Sorry, quick and dirty this week, but we will be back next week with a full roster of more restaurants to talk about, guests to talk about, the whole shebang. So a little disorganized this holiday week, post-holiday week. My apologies, but thanks so much for listening. I'll be back next week.